All right, post-game here at the Sports Ground. Interviews are done. Rain is falling. The live match entertainment and tent is still buzzing afterwards. Connacht are into the Champions Cup. Cardiff are angry. William Davis and Lindy McKenzie are with me. Wouldn't be a Cardiff defeat if they weren't angry. But four tries, they can't argue with it as far as I'm concerned. It's not as if they've lost a tight one here. Connacht were brilliant.
Connacht were absolutely magnificent, particularly in the second half when they played against the wind. I actually think it might have been a bit easier to play against it than with it, because it was really blowing down that pitch. Played some sparkling rugby. And to be fair to John Mulvihill, when I interviewed him, he said Connacht wanted it a bit more, and he said they played and were more clinical than Cardiff. That's what we were looking for today, was to be clinical. And they did it, and they saw it out. It was physical, it was hard, but once they got that lead, they never really shifted off that point.
I think that Jack Carty try, Lindy McKenzie, just after halftime, emphasised that little subtle difference between the hunger in Jack Carty to get to that ball ahead of Morgan, and he deserved his try.
And also the confidence that Jack Carty was able to play without there. I was actually quite surprised he got that try, because to me, when he chipped, it looked like he was completely blocked. Mm. And so I was fascinated how then he actually won the race to the ball, yeah. Because he was actually impeded as he tried to run that angle. So, I mean, yeah, look, just the confidence. And when you have, you know, both Keelan Blade and Kieran Marmion to produce that amazing tackle in that corner to stop that try, you know, you've got players who were 110% wanting to win this match. And they were, I think that was a key area, possibly, as John Mulvihill said, that Connacht did want it more. They needed it, and they've got it, and they've got it with a game to spare, knowing that they can now go to Munster. And while Andy Friend wants to maintain the momentum, I think there will be a nice, enjoyable trip to Munster now, not needing to get that win.
Yeah, and we'll dissect that a little bit when we get closer to it, because there will be an element of losing momentum if they don't front up. But everything I hear from Caelan Blade in the interview, and you'll hear that elsewhere on Galway FM, says that they don't want to do that. I remember Paul Boyle after Munster beat Connacht here in December specifically saying, I look forward to getting that chance to play them again in April, and he certainly played well enough tonight. William, I said it to Andy Friend, that back row tonight, that was the first time that trio played together all season, and I think that emphasises the way Andy Friend has approached this season. It's pick the team, go with the guys on form. You don't even know what his first 15 is.
No, they've rotated all season, and they've taken players in and out, and you know, Owen McKeown has played very well this season, but they just went with that today. I think they knew they had to be very competitive in that area.
Boyle had a big first half.
He had a huge first half. He seems to be somebody who has sorted out the kickoff return issues for Connacht, because he actually calls for the ball and he seems quite happy to take it. That's been a problem all season. You know, in a wind like that, the ball can drop on you very easily because it just stops. He made sure he was in the right place. They made their tackles. They were good on the ground. And they, I think, coming in with a 4-point lead in the conference was a real fill-up for them, because Cardiff were still having to chase. And last week, when they chased against Munster, it went wrong for them. And the same thing happened today. Little small errors. And Connacht, because they were in their face, really hard running in the line, took them about 10 minutes to get up to that pace. But once they were at it, Cardiff had no room to move. They couldn't create any space out there. And that was the master plan, and the whole team stuck to their tasks and got the job done.
I'm glad you mentioned kickoffs, because it has been a problem for Connacht for many a season, and it was so critical to the success in the second half. You know what else was critical? Just that early ambition, and the likes of Aki and Farrell releasing Matt Healy. How many breaks had Matt Healy in those first 10 minutes of the second half? And he made a penalty and he made a try, and then he scored a try at the end.
Yeah, actually he deserves huge plaudits, because we haven't seen a lot of Matt Healy this season, particularly in that form again, and particularly, you know, his options. I think it's like almost like giving these players, they were given sort of the reins to do what they wanted to do, to flourish and almost like abandon themselves to play a bit like the Pro 12 final, yeah. where Pat Lamb said, go out and enjoy it and you can do, you know. And I think there was that element there today, even like with Matt Healy when he chipped down the line, you know, once upon a time, you know, he may not have done that. He may have tried to, you know, get through the player or cut back inside and you know, and sort of try to get the ball away. But I just thought that so many of the players out there today really lifted their game and played with almost like an abandonment that we can do this, we're confident. And Matt Healy was certainly one of those. Great to see Bundy back, that aggression that's needed. One of his early tackles, it was like, you know, stamping his foot on this game. This is business here today, you know. Tuna O'Halloran had a great game as well. You can't say enough about, you know, to be honest, the back row. I thought Boyle's, as you alluded to, as you said, we're talking about his restarts, with the exception of the last one, I think, unfortunately. You know, that was a shame, but it was just that it just fell short. But did very well there. Actually, and to be fair, the pack did extremely well in that scrum. Yeah. They really did. And it was unfortunate. It was unfortunate one of those penalties that they did concede was after your man had dropped the scrum twice, and then he comes around and he watches it and he changed his bind, that fella, and Buckley was forced down. Yeah. And it was very unfortunate because they had done very well in the scrum.
It's funny because even at the end when Matthew Burke came on and Conor Carey came on and Shane Delahunt, they had two brilliant scrums. So people wonder about the strength and depth and the young players coming through. They delivered. Gavin Thornbury had a great game. Robin Copeland's penalty at the end.
Yeah, he has a very strong mentality when he comes on about closing out a game and winning a game. And he was driving everybody on. He was banging his hand into his fist. He was really saying, come on, we have to keep the pace up here. And I actually think that's what stood to Connacht, because I think they looked fitter. Cardiff were starting to struggle at the end of that game, and Cardiff's bench had nothing. There was nothing on that bench. And look, the two TMO decisions are going to be analysed.
It looked like they got a harsh call against Detroit, that where Marmion made the tackle. It's very, very close. One of the angles, maybe you can understand why they're calling it. If the Cardiff Blues don't want to make that the difference between Connacht and themselves being in Europe, look at the 8 points in the table, lads. It's a long season. I don't think there's any doubt about who deserves to be there and who's just behind them. Not far, but behind them.
No, and I mean, they can still get into a playoff to get into Europe, which they desperately want. They're talking about now it might be against the Scarlets, and they're looking forward to taking on the Ospreys because they always like to beat them. The Welsh Derby games sometimes slip under the radar a bit. We focus on ours, but there's a lot of stuff built up over time over there, and there's obviously the Gareth Anscombe situation, which I don't think is playing out well, and you wonder how that can be allowed to happen with a game like this later in that week. It's very bad management.
Lost care of the young scrum half as well, they lost care of the young prop as well. So, you know, it's just been a bad week for them in contracts, and it's a bad result now. Finally, Linley, what a day, what an emotion at the end. Kenan Blade summed it up well in the press conference, but we've all watched a lot of Connacht rugby over the years. This is another seminal moment.
Oh, absolutely. And to have done it at home with one match to go is, I think, all the more important, because so often Connacht really make it hard for themselves. And I thought in the first half they had made it a little bit hard for themselves, but then they came out in the second half and just flourished. So really important that the work from the last 2 years has actually now, you know, it's been able to be, it's sort of like almost like harnessed, and it's Andy Friend has been able to put it all together and harness the players and the you know, get them have the right attitudes, the positivity. And it does dovetail beautifully, doesn't it, with standing here in this, you know, sports ground stadium, so to speak. And it does dovetail beautifully with the new development that is going to be going to be started here this season.
Creating a culture of Champions Cup rugby in the West of Ireland. That's what they want to do, and that's what's going to make that stadium sell out more often than not. Okay, that's it from us. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, Connacht have won. Loads more coverage coming up this week on Galway Bay FM.